Welcome to the Marie Manucherry Show, where energy and medicine meet. I will be your host for the next hour. I have over 19 years of healthcare experience and began my career as an energy medicine practitioner while working as an oncology nurse at a Seattle area hospital. My skill in moving energy combined with my medical background have been a catalyst for change in many people's lives. I hope the next hour will be transformative for you as well. Good morning and welcome to the Marie Manucherry Show. We are live here and I think it's going to rain a little bit this weekend, but that's okay. All of our flowers and our grass could absolutely use it. And I just want to start off the show just with a deeper understanding that certain things really are not political. So many people in our country think that certain things are political. And we actually know that physicians, 80% of American doctors, which are still more men than women in the country, are pro-choice. So physicians don't consider, 80% in the United States don't consider including gun control, which is even a higher percentage of those things, as political or religious. They are human rights. They are human rights and they're about health and wellness and caring. So most medical people don't look at any of those things as political or religious. They look at it purely about how do we have the healthiest people on the planet? How do we keep them the healthiest? And of course, there are many ways to do that, especially since the United States is still one of the leading countries in the world with the highest infant mortality rate in the world, which is really embarrassing. So just remember, even though everybody wants to divide this into politics and religion, they're not. These topics should not be about politics. They are good common sense decisions we make to protect our community and how that we allow women to even protect their bodies and to make sure they don't have too many children if they don't want to, and many, many other reasons. I know when my parents were young, they were Roman Catholic, very deeply Catholic, and they had 5 kids in 5.5 years. You know, so my sister and I were the oldest. I'm the oldest. She's the second oldest. We celebrate our birthday on the same month. So for 2.5 weeks, we are the exact same age. I think they call that Irish twins. And our youngest sibling, my youngest brother, shortly after he was born, he was diagnosed with viral meningitis. He was very sick for about 1.5 years. He was in and out of the hospital. It was exhausting, of course, for my parents. They didn't even know if he was going to survive. And so my mom, in her adorable humbleness and naivete, went to her priest to ask if she could have permission to take contraception, because, of course, she was a devout Roman Catholic, so she never did. And the priest told her, of course not, you know, and actually said that if she did, or if any of them used any form of contraception, that my mother would be excommunicated. Not my dad, just my mom, which was interesting. So both of my parents left the church for that. They were tired and worn out and were having a hard time taking care of their 5 children. My father was not the type of person that would work, you know, 12 hours a day or whatnot to take care of his family. He loved to go to school, so he was always a constant student and carried a job as well. So it was hard for them. So at any rate, we need to let these things be personal decisions that people make and make sure that our children are protected in all of our public institutions, mm-hmm. and that people don't have access to killing machines. You know, that's just that's what the modern medical association believes. Over 80% of physicians believe in gun control.
Yeah, it's tough. Our parents shouldn't outlive the kids.
No.
Period.
Yeah. So even though I guess we have to vote on this stuff to make sure that we make good choices, which is embarrassing.
Right?
I think it's embarrassing that we actually have to go to the polls and vote on this so that people are safe and free. But I don't think these are political issues. I think these are human rights issues and safety issues.
Very true. Very true.
All right. Enough of that.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
877-825-8828 for the Marie Manucherry Show for today. Open call and show day today. And we'll take the lines and we'll take now Sherry calling in from Seattle first. Hi, Sherry.
Hello. I'm sorry. Good morning.
That's okay.
Good morning. How are you?
My first conversation of the day. So.
Oh, well, good morning.
Yes. So thank you. What's on my mind today, I would like some help with understanding what's going on with my energy system and mm-hmm. my aura. A couple of times you have read my energy online or over the phone and said that there were sparks coming off my seventh chakra, and I would like to know what that's about. I've still been having those weird head episodes where there's like a little pressure and just a kind of a, you know, for 10 seconds, just a very strange sensation in my head, sort of a spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you could look into that, and I would appreciate it.
Sure. Well, I already drew out your energy. You have no sparks on the tip of your crown chakra, which is amazing. And I think these episodes that you're describing, because energy is just so powerful, and so many human beings, just because we haven't really taught energy in school, we really haven't brought it to the table about the human energy system. It's normal to feel energy moving in your body. And I think your third eye is always trying to alert you and get your attention. And I don't mean in a fearful way.
Mm.
I think you're naturally intuitive, and you have this tendency to want to shut it down, right? Or make it quiet. And so then it you feel that pressure in your head from the third eye trying to reopen, which could even cause some dizziness, of course, because the third eye is in the brain. And it's not where intuition originates from, but it's where intuition is projected. So it's projected like on a television screen. We see, you know, actors projected that are, you know, thousands of miles away from our television. So intuition actually comes from your aura, and then it gets projected, whether it's visual or auditory or clairsentient or that knowingness, through the third eye. So does that make sense?
Well, kind of, but, you know, it's just surprising that I am trying to suppress it so much. I guess that must be out of fear, but...
Well, I want you to think that fear... I want you to recognize that fear is an illusion. It doesn't really exist. So there's two main emotions on the planet, which, of course, is fear, and then, of course, but which is an illusion, and then there's love. So anything that's not love is fear, and it's an illusion. I want you to look at it this way, that you're actually more... uncomfortable with your magnificence, and you're more uncomfortable being multisensory. I want you to look at it from that perspective, that that's why you're contracting it. When people open up to their multisensory abilities, they become very different. They make different choices. Everything about their life could potentially change, and I don't mean in a bad way. It would be a good way, and it usually isn't just like a pancake flip and everything changes immediately. It's usually a slow progression. But most beings, human beings, are terrified, or in this illusion, of their magnificence. They're scared. They don't want to be their magnificent beings. We're really good at the struggle, but we're not so great at the free-flowing energy. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And you've actually given me some wonderful what-if questions and exercises that have helped me a lot. I was wondering, if do you have any what-if question, especially for like love life, potentially? Because it was going really well with some of the tips you're giving me, but now I'm having a lull.
Oh, I mean, you're not dating?
Well, something kind of went sideways, and mm-hmm. I seem to be attracting all the wrong kinds of people again.
Right. So how do you think that you are ready to be loved? Because that's when you meet the person that you want, you are going to feel adored and cherished. Are you ready for that?
I think so.
All right. So I think you need to start adoring and cherishing yourself. Even when you date someone that's kind of sideways, can you value and appreciate yourself in that moment and say, good job, honey. God, that was great. I'm so proud of you. Can you do that?
Yes, I can do that. And I've been trying to do that. Yeah.
Good. So, and tell yourself you're on the right track. You're making beautiful progress. Try not to, because what I can see is that you tend to critique a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Stop doing that. Stop critiquing it. Just enjoy yourself and have fun. Trust that the universe knows exactly what you want, is bringing everything to you, and you're learning to be receptive.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Sherry, for joining the show today. 877-825-8828. That's cute about the whole loving, if something, you know, were to go in different for the relationship.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, honey, the car can drive with three wheels. But, you know, I still love you. Let's fix the other one, right? No matter how bad or good.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you got to be ready for that.
I think what happens in the dating world is that, especially when you want a partner, right, and you have an idea of what you want and what would be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people go on dates, they immediately start critiquing individuals and keeping score and going, And actually what happens when you do that is you keep attracting more people that you're going to go about. So when you're sitting across from someone or you're talking to them on the phone or whatnot, you're going to already know if certain things would not be in your best interest. But
right.
what if you focused on the things you really liked about that person? Because then you're going to attract more people that you like things about them, which is going to make it easier for you to stay in a long-term relationship. So that's really the ticket, right? Keeping your vibration up.
There
yes.
you go. All right. Let's take now Alex calling in from Orlando. Hi, Alex.
Hi.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Good, and you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for asking. What can I do for you?
Okay, so I want to be an energy healer and medium.
Great.
Like you, and I just feel really blocked. Like, I don't move forward.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could help me or give me advice. Or...
So what have you done to allow this to happen?
So when I do readings, I guess.
And you
I
already do
like
readings, right? You
do
readings.
Well.
Oh, okay. You feel like, and why is that?
Because I think I get a lot of information that's not correct. No.
So I'm going to disagree. I think it's who you read for. You know, when I was married, I was part of a very large community where lots of people. Most of the husbands were Middle Eastern. My ex-husband is from Iran. And most of the wives were American, actually. But there were some Middle Eastern women as well. And all of our kids looked like they were related, like they still call themselves cousins today, you know, and they all hang out and love each other and take wonderful care of each other, which I so loved. And I didn't know, I didn't recognize, because I was in that marriage for 20 years and part of that community. So I got married at 20. That's pretty young. And I didn't realize how intuitive I was, I think partially because I was hanging out. And this is not about the culture at all, in my opinion, but I was hanging out with people who didn't really want to know too much about certain things, you know, regardless of their culture, whether it was the women who were mostly American or not. So I would have an intuitive impression and I would say something to them. They go, no, that's not true. And they go, really? Oh, my gosh. OK. And I would feel bad and guilty. And I wasn't even thinking that I was trying to be intuitive. I really empathetically felt something was going on in their life. And they would always deny it for me every single time. So when I stopped, when I got divorced, that whole group of people decided not to be friends with me. That happens a lot in divorces, right? Like people choose sides. Well, everyone chose my ex-husband's side. And then I started making new friends. And they were at a different frequency and a different vibration and more curious about their inner awareness. And all of a sudden, I'm extremely accurate in my intuition. But I think it's because I was hanging out with people who were more conscious of what was going on with them. So I don't think you're hanging out with very many conscious people. No offense to your friends, by the way. None whatsoever. Okay, so you can't judge your intuition accurately because you don't have an audience of people who are going to get what you're talking about.
Okay, yes, that makes sense.
Right?
Yes.
So you need new friends or you need to start attracting people who believe in what you're doing and are self-reflective. Because not everybody wants to be self-reflective and they don't have to be. Right? It's not a mandatory thing on the planet to be self-reflective.
It's true.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Does that make you feel better?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. I'm so glad.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All okay. right. Thanks, Alex, for joining us from Orlando, 877-825-8828. Let's take, bing, bang, Ellen calling from West Lynn, Oregon.
Ooh.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Oh, hey.
It must be so pretty where you are. Hello?
Pardon me?
I said it must be so pretty where you are.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I can just tell. And Benny can too. We're both like, oh, like we're drooling over here. We just want to go visit. It just sounds so gorgeous. So what can
come on
I
down.
Okay. So what can I do for you?
Okay. So I'm going to be an empty nester this fall.
Yeah. How do you feel about it?
I am so excited. I'm thrilled. I cannot wait.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I have been dipping my toe in and out of sort of healing, and I'm starting to study doing an animal communication class. And I'm just curious about my multi-sensory gift abilities and if my spirit guides have any insights for me as I enter this new, exciting phase of my life.
Right. Of course, I, you know, like to think that I'm always communicating from the perception of your spirit guides, but I will tap in to make sure that I'm, you know, not missing anything. They're very,
sure.
very, very excited for you. And the thing that, you know, they're recommending, I'm recommending, we're recommending, is that you work on your confidence and your self-worth. You know, you were an over-nurturing parent, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's why you're excited for them to move out. But they do move back. I just warning you. They come back. My youngest came back for grad school when she went to law school. Luckily, she's lovely, but she's a little tough, in my opinion. And luckily, our bedrooms were on opposite ends of the house. You know? So we could, and I'm sure she felt the same about me, you know, like she's having to move back home. And I'm probably asking her questions that she doesn't want to answer, you know. But I want you to work on your self-worth, because people, and this would be men and women, who over-nurture their children usually don't set healthy boundaries with their kids, and their kids will take advantage of them. And it kind of gives them this inaccurate perception that they're not very valuable. And it may not be a conscious perception, but definitely unconscious. So I really want you to work on your self-worth. And okay. Before your kids leave, you know, practice the word no.
Okay.
You know, just for fun and giggles, just start, no. You know, they're just going to look at you like, what are you talking about? But just, I want you, no, no, no. Just start practicing it, because no is just as beautiful as yes.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So you're on the right track. You're moving in the perfect direction, but you need to work on your self-worth.
Okay.
Intuition is an energy that really vibrates in really high ways. The more a person enjoys and loves themselves, it becomes a stronger muscle.
So do you have a what if question you would recommend?
Yeah. What if I believe in myself and my accuracy is amazing?
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 877-825-8828 for the Marie Manucciari Show. We're at our first break of the hour.
That's fast.
I know. It does. We'll be right back with more from Marie.
And welcome back to the Marie Manucciari Show. We are live here in Seattle, and we're taking calls.
We are 877-825-8828, and we'll take now Michelle calling in from San Diego. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. How are you?
We're good.
We are lovely. Yeah. Thank you. What can we do for you?
Well, I am typically in really good health, and mm-hmm. I had my blood drawn for an annual physical. Uh-huh. And I was like on day 5 of a cold when I got my blood drawn. Mm-hmm. And the results came back that my kidneys are in stage 3 kidney disease.
Interesting. You're like the second person in, I think, a month who has brought that has had that a similar experience like that. Yes.
Interesting. Uh-huh. I've scoured all the symptoms, and I do have puffy eyes.
Uh-huh.
But besides that, I feel great. Just curious if I'm just starting, like I have an ultrasound scheduled. And
I would highly recommend you find a naturopathic doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. And I love all forms of medicine. Like, this is great. You went to modern medicine. They, you know, did a blood draw, which, of course, a naturopath could also, you know, diagnose that from. But I would love for you to make sure you see a naturopathic doctor as well.
Okay. Great.
Your energy looks great. It really does. So here's what causes kidney disease, and that is fear. People who run on a lot of fight or flight energy over a period of time, it could potentially affect their kidneys. So would you say that you tend to run fight or flight?
Yes.
And of course, yes. Right now, right? Like right now, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so, but now I worry about my kids.
Yeah, you've got to stop. Sure. And you were worrying about things before that too, you know? So you have to change. Everything's based on energy. So if we can get you to change your energy, we can have things completely change in your body. I see this every day in my practice. I'm like, I'm even surprised how well people heal from a conversation I have with them and the movement of energy that I provide. But most of the time, I believe, and I'm hoping this, I'll teach a class about this maybe on the Shift Network, is the biggest thing that I'm doing, I think, in my energy work, or maybe the most profound besides moving subatomic particles for clients, is that I'm helping them to change their perception, right? Because if they believe a certain way about something, they're going to run energy particles that mimic that belief system. And if it's led to a disease in their body, then they need to change their perception so they can change the way the particles move in their body. So you have been running in fight or flight, which is exhausting. And it comes from the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys.
Right.
And so you've exhausted yourself, but you also are one of those people who doesn't know how to stop. Like, even though your energy looks great per my drawing, I bet if I drew out your auric field, I'd probably find some leaks. I bet. But I'm mostly on the radio, I just draw out the chakra system. But in my practice, I look for leaks in the auric field as well, because people will hide their energy. They hide it. And you're also, you know how to go into fight or flight, which is, it can feel like taking prednisone when you're, you know, which is not really super comfortable, but it does give you this false sense of energy, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, you're back in that fight or flight response. So to help your kidneys recover, right, and they might even have you take steroids. I don't know what they'll recommend, of course, but please find a naturopath as well. That you start calming down your sympathetic response and start moving into the parasympathetic aspect of your autonomic system, which is going to calm you down and move you into wisdom and get your cortisol levels down so that you're not into fight or flight. And interesting enough, worrying doesn't help anything. It certainly isn't helping you, and it definitely won't help your kids. In fact, when people worry, they don't mean to, but they're sending negative energy to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sending positive energy, right? Mm-hmm. So when we worry about people, which is something most humans have been trained to do from a very early age, either based on religion or guilt, or which is also religious, for whatever reason, we're trained to, you know, feel guilty, or that we're not good enough, or we're not good enough parents, or we're not going to be good people. And so if we worry about others, that means we're a good person. But that's not true. That's not true at all. So, okay. So you're starting to relax. Can you feel it right now?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah. What you're doing, which is really beautiful, is you're releasing a whole bunch of stagnant energy. When was the last time you cried?
2 days ago.
Good, because you need to cry. You're a very sensitive person. You know, you need to cry. You feel things. So here's your what if question. What if I'm relaxed and calmly moving energy throughout every system in my body with relaxation and delight? That's what I want you to start focusing on. So repeat that question or something very similar to it. Especially before your ultrasound, people can change their energy very quickly, and it can start to change things as well very quickly in their bodies.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And and please don't worry about this, because it won't help.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Keep us posted.
I will. Thank you, Marie.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle, for joining us from San Diego area, 877-825-8828, or visit energyintuitive.com for more information. I'll get the words out and more information about Marie.
Yes, there we go.
Whew, it's been a tough day. Let's take Cheryl from New York. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Marie and Benny.
Hi.
Thank
Hello.
You for taking my call.
Of course, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm
good.
Have so many questions that I am just going to ask you to please, whatever is in my highest good, what my guides feel I need to hear, because I talk to them all the time and I ask them so many questions. And
are you feel like you're getting
I don't
a response?
Hear them.
Okay. So, and I love what you said, you don't hear them, because I guarantee you they're talking up a storm to you. So you do have to practice getting out of your brain. Like, this is such an important aspect.
Yeah.
Right? Like, resting in the lower half of your body or your feet, and you're very grounded. You're taking beautiful energy into your root chakra, your heart chakra, your sixth chakra, and your seventh. You've got lots of beautiful energy moving into your body, and but you won't stop thinking. So as long as you keep thinking, you can't hear them.
Right.
So what do you do to stop thinking?
Well, I do plenty to stop my own mind, but mostly listening to you and others who bring my vibration up and get me into a more joyful place.
Mm-hmm.
But the silence makes I have a hard time with.
Right. So here's my suggestion. I think you should get on YouTube and and go ahead and, you know, put in the search engine, Lee Holden. He's a Qigong teacher, and he has free videos on YouTube. And do some Qigong. It's going to quiet your mind, because you're one of those individuals that needs to have activity in order to stop the brain from overanalyzing and processing. That doesn't mean you'll be like that forever, but it's too hard for you to just sit down and be quiet. Correct?
Yes.
Right. So
correct. And I have heard from them, honestly, to do Qigong.
Great. So I want you to feel in this moment validated.
Okay.
I want you to feel very validated. Like, oh my gosh, I was right. I am listening to them. I heard them. Because that's so important. But what?
Yes. Well, the thing is that I'm surrounded by people that I truly care about that are dealing with very serious and bizarre illnesses. And it's just overwhelming. And it's been years of this, and it's very overwhelming. And
so
I just keep trying to figure out where my part is in that.
Well, do you live with these people?
Some I do, some I don't. I also had my own health crisis, which I feel that I've gotten really made some great gains over the years in restoring. But I do have, there's something underlying that I don't know if it's taking on other people's energy or if it's actually an issue.
You take on other people's energy. This is true, which I don't recommend that anyone does. And you do need to stay away from all the sick people. Sorry, but unless illness makes you happy, like it does me, then you shouldn't be around people who have health issues. It scares you. It lowers your vibration. And they're not, the reason why they're not getting better, because they talk about it all the time, constantly. And the fifth chakra is the most powerful vortex in the physical body. So whatever we're talking about, we're manifesting and creating and attracting to us.
And it's literally the only people in my life. Everyone.
Well, get some new people. There's 7 billion people on the planet. Go get some new friends. Even if these are relatives.
We're talking relatives, my partner. I mean,
okay, well,
everybody.
So I would have a talk with your partner and say, I can't listen to this anymore. It's not helping you. You're not getting better, if that's the case. And we need to have a completely different conversation when we're together. And start getting new friends. It's not a sign of disloyalty to not have relationships with people who do not uplift you, even if you are related to them. It's not a sign of disloyalty. It's a sign of loyalty to yourself. And it may help them to wake up and change their behavior. It may not, because some people don't want to change. They want to stay in victimization, and that's fine. But you don't want to. So you can't surround yourself with something you don't want and expect change.
Right.
Okay.
Do you see any what-if questions for me that would...
What if I embrace my power?
Good one.
Like that.
Okay. And your energy changed as I was talking about you abandoning your friends, by the way, just letting you know.
I know. It's easier said than done.
Well, I think we can do anything. I have a fast rule in my life. I don't have relationships with people that don't care for me or support me in a healthy way, or who are victims or complain about their life or mistreat others. And I don't care who they are. It doesn't matter to me. If I'm related to them, I still don't have a relationship with them.
And what if you can see how they could change and everything would be different?
Yeah, but...
What if you can see
that? Oh, I can see that. I can see that, but they don't want to. So even though you can see that for someone, they are the ones that have to do it.
Yeah.
And your friends and family clearly don't want to. Just like my... I mean, all of my family could have free access to me, right? They could take all my classes. They could, you know, I could do energy work on them for free. Some of them have taken some classes, but the ones who need the most help don't. Some people don't want to change, and you just need to be okay with that. Stop trying to save people. Just take care of yourself.
Yeah, that's the trouble. I did take your class, by the way, your shift class, and it was amazing.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Okay, so now you've got your homework, right?
Yes.
All right. Have fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Cheryl, for calling from New York, 877-825-8828. We'll take one more before our last break of the hour, and it will be Deborah from Edmonds. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Betty.
Hi.
Hi, Marie.
Hello, Deborah.
Thanks so much for taking my call today.
Of course. What can I do for you?
Well, I have a health question.
Sure.
I am having issues with my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And walking has been a joy for me, so mm-hmm. this is hard.
Right.
I've been to podiatrists.
Your feet look fine, honestly. I mean, you're pulling up huge amounts of energy into your root chakra, so this really has nothing to do with your feet.
Ah. And I just, Marie, I kept hearing your voice in my head where I was thinking, you know, I have these problems with my feet, and I was like, don't talk like that. And you talked about embracing any issues.
Yeah.
And I really want to see what
learn
about myself.
This is about your spine, not your feet. Mm. Your feet look happy to me. I mean, they're a tiny bit tender, a tiny bit, but it's your spine. And it's because you're really stubborn. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you have to learn to let go. Right. So as soon as you start to let go, your spine's going to become more flexible and it's going to help your feet. You know, the spine is so interesting. I have a new pillow. It's a cervical pillow that actually my assistant turned me on to. And I sleep like a baby with it. It's like amazing. And I was so surprised how my body moved into alignment, you know, from head to toe, which I shouldn't be surprised. I've had chiropractic care most of my life. Just from this pillow, which puts the cervical vertebrae into balance, right, if you use it. I was so surprised how I could feel it all the way through my toes. So this really isn't about your feet. This is your spine. And, you know, of course, I could send you a link to a cervical pillow, but that's really not the issue, although I'll be happy to. It's really that you need to learn to let go. You try to control things. When people have spine issues, it's because they're trying to control, and you need to learn to let go, and then your feet are going to be happier. So your new Fravit what if question is, what if I surrender and get out of the way?
Thank you.
Okay. And just repeat it all the time. And when your feet are a little bit tender, just say, oh, you're so cute. I love you so much. Just keep that up. And because we're really working on your spine letting go.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. I actually just felt so much lighter when you said that.
And I'm assuming the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with your feet, right?
Well, I have some actual physical things like bunions and capsulitis of the second toe, but my I have Raynaud's syndrome my dermatologist gave me something to treat that. But the thing that affects me most is when I'm able to go on walks again because of a fix that my podiatrist did.
Mm-hmm.
After a walk, my feet throb.
Yeah, it's okay. Just don't freak out about it. Just go ahead, let go, have some fun. Let's see what happens. Call me back in a few weeks, like 3 to 4 weeks, and let's see where you are the letting go. And Raynaud's is about circulating energy in your body. When you're controlling, you can't really circulate energy in your body very well.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Awesome.
Call me back 2 to 3 weeks. Let's see how it went. Okay.
Will do.
Okay,
thank you, Marie.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Deborah, from calling in from Edmonds, Washington, 877-825-8828. It's the second break of the hour already.
Okay.
Flying right through. We'll be right back with more from Marie.
And welcome back to the Marie Manucherry Show. We are live here in Seattle, and we're taking calls.
Yeah, we are. I thought you had more to say. My bad. All right, we'll take now Rachel calling in from Vashon Island. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Benny. Hi, Marie.
Hello, Rachel. How are you? What can I do for you?
I'm doing okay. I am looking for a message from the other side.
Oh. Did you have someone who recently passed?
Yes.
Do you have... Well, I can now see a woman, but the first thing I picked up on was a male. So is it the...
Yes.
Okay, it's the male then, not the female. Okay.
Correct.
The female's been there longer. She's a little bit... bossier, honestly. Is your mother still living?
She is.
Okay. She's bossy too?
She's not too bossy, no.
Okay. Do you have a grandmother or an aunt that was bossy?
I have a grandmother. She was a little bossy. I have an aunt. She kind of took control of things in a good way.
Yeah. Then it's probably not the aunt. This is bossy. Like I can see her shaking her finger at people.
Probably my grandma.
Okay. And so the reason why she's so prominent is probably the male person who's more recent. It is sometimes they ask for help to kind of move into a reading, a medium reading, especially if they didn't have a lot of beliefs in the multisensory world or
right.
Then they're like, I don't know how to do this, and I'm not sure I believe in this yet, even though I'm dead now. And, you know, so can some, so of course your grandmother's just going to run over because she's bossy. She wants to help everybody or tell everybody what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think this is your dad. Is this correct? It's not your father? Or is
it your dad? It's not my father.
Yeah. Because it doesn't have that same fatherly energy, and it feels a little bit more contemporary, like someone who could be closer to your age. I'm very sorry for your loss, by the way.
Thank you. I truly am.
And this man is telling me, and he's telling you, but I'm translating it, right? So he's telling you that he's apologizing because he said, I should have taken better care of my body. This is what he says. Is that true?
It is true, yes.
Okay, so he's apologizing for not taking better care of his body because he can now see how much his family and people in his life love him.
Yes.
And he really wasn't aware of this. He just didn't have the awareness of how much he was appreciated. He kind of walked around. He reminds me of the Peanuts cartoon. And what's the youngest little one that always had that cloud over their head?
Pigpen?
Is it Pigpen? Yeah.
I believe
so. So he reminds me of Pigpen. He's just got this little cloud over his head, you know, maybe complaining too much about life. I don't know what it was.
That's Charlie Brown. He's always
is that Charlie Brown?
Charlie's always complaining about something.
But whoever's got the cloud over their head.
But yeah,
yeah,
go ahead.
I think that's
Pigpen. Same thing.
So he just says, gosh, I could have taken better care of my body. Everybody loved me. I could have enjoyed my life better. What the heck? You know, so he's doing this inventory. He's having a life review. But he does tell me he's grateful that he was a good person.
That he was what?
A good person. Because he was.
He was a really good person.
So he goes, at least I was a good person. I got that going for me. That's what he says. He wants me to tell you, and he's blowing you kisses as I say this. He wants me to tell you, thank you for all of your prayers. And I don't even know if he would use the word prayer. You know, like, I don't
know.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's a hard, he's like searching for the right word is what I could see in his, prayer is the best thing that, you know, he says, thank you for all of your prayers. So he's thanking you for having kind thoughts for him and, you know, being a positive influence in his life, despite his choices and not all of them were bad, of course. And he misses you, but he can see how much everybody misses him.
Oh, you're cutting out.
Oh, I said he misses you, but he can really see how everyone misses him. And it's
everyone misses him.
They do.
Yeah.
And he's surprised and grateful. And he goes, I just wish I was knew how much I was loved before I died.
I know.
I really didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's true.
I'm very sorry for your loss. I truly am. Who is this?
Thank you. This is Rachel. I was in your.
Yeah, I know this is Rachel.
You know who I am.
Yes.
It was my husband.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How long has he been gone?
Just 9 months.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Rachel. I'm very, very sorry for your loss. I truly, truly am.
Thank you.
You seem to be doing well, though.
You know, I am. I've just been, grief has been a wild ride. And I'm just coming to, just having more energy and feeling some more inspiration and like, okay, what's my life now? What do I want to do? I feel like I have a clean slate in some ways.
Yeah.
I spent the last 9 months of John's life caring for him. He had glioblastoma.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And so that was, you know, I've just been healing and processing, and we had his memorial 2 weeks ago, and that was really helpful.
Good. I'm glad you guys waited, you know, so that everyone could attend. And it's so funny. I know he's your husband because you told me, but I didn't have that kind of what I would call that romantic energy. And it could have been just from the 9 months of his illness, right, where you were just taking care of him and being his caretaker. But I didn't feel, and I know you guys were very much in love with each other. I know that. Right. But things must have changed in the relationship.
Yeah. Well, actually it changed. We were together for 6.5 years, but we didn't get married until after his diagnosis.
Okay. Well, I'm very, very sorry for your loss. I truly am. And Thank you. Now starting to believe in all the things that you believe in.
Yep.
Which is interesting. You know, that's very interesting. I'm always, I even think of myself when I say this, I'm so surprised by who the people we choose to have in our lives, right? Because mm-hmm. you're very, very spiritual. You've devoted your life to spirituality, and your partner wasn't. You know, and he was naturally spiritual, naturally a wonderful, good person, but probably didn't totally get that part of you.
He didn't. He tried to, but he couldn't. Yeah, he really couldn't. Yeah.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Well, he's sending you kisses and love, and he's grateful that so many people love him. He's so grateful.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
Thank you so
You're
much,
You're welcome.
Marie. Thanks, Benny. Have a good day.
Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Rachel, for joining the show. 877-825-8828. I had to look up Pigpen really fast because I forgot his character and, like, what... Because, you know, Charles Schwartz really involved a lot of personal people
around him
involved with the character in
cool.
the strip. So it was funny because Pigpen always referred to the cloud of dust around him with pride, of course, as the dust of ancient civilizations that he couldn't get rid of himself over, you know, despite all of his best moments.
That's adorable.
And then there's also a note, and when we remember watching it, every time he took a big, deep breath to sing, did you notice the cloud would, like, lift?
No.
Yeah, and then come back down.
Right? So, I think that makes a lot of sense even for Rachel's partner.
Yeah.
You know, like, this really great guy, but he just can't get the...
It's still hovering around.
Yeah, hovering around him. Yeah.
Despite the best efforts of,
all
right, I got to get clean here.
Even having a wife who's
right,
really into spirituality.
Right.
It's amazing
right.
the things we hold on to. It's
totally.
Amazing. Okay.
It's 877-825-8828 for the Marie Manucherry Show. Just a few minutes left here. We'll take now Pamela calling in from Colorado. Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question about my tooth.
Okay.
I have bone loss density in my front right lower tooth.
Uh-huh.
And they want me to do this procedure, and I just feel like I don't want to do it.
Okay, could you can you tell me the procedure?
They just want to go in and clean out the cut in through the gums.
Yeah.
Clean out the tooth so the bone will grow back, and then they want to take
a bone graft.
The gum from my
into a graft
from my mouth and put it there.
So I've actually had that procedure. So
okay,
but it's been like 30 years since I had that procedure. But there's actually some new. Where do you live again? Where are you?
Colorado.
Colorado. So you may not. I don't know if they have the procedure I'm going to tell you about right now. But there's a really cool procedure, and they still may want to do some grafting. But usually people have profound results from it. I can send you if you write into energyintuitive.com, I'll send you a link to the periodontist that I see here, and maybe they can recommend someone in Colorado for you.
Okay,
but
perfect.
What they do is they do lasers. So they have to
That's
numb.
What I'm curious about.
Right. So they have to numb the whole thing, you know, because they do the doctor comes in and does the laser, and it's really deep, and it's supposed to activate the bone, right? And it allows the gum tissue to adhere, in most cases, to the tooth better, which is why they want to do the graft, right? Because you have some recession. So I would consider doing that procedure first and see what you can, gain from that. And then if things don't work out, then consider doing the other one.
Perfect. That's
How does
wonderful.
That sound?
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I was thinking about a friend who passed and I got through and I was like, yay, that's what my tooth.
Yeah. So yeah. And it's just one tooth. You're doing great.
Yes, just one tooth.
Yeah.
And my intuition with them, it just seems really weird with them. So,
well, I just think there's some more advanced things that could potentially work that don't require as much downtime. Like, they won't cut into the gums. You know, they're going to use a laser. I mean, you do have to, like, eat soft food for weeks afterwards while the healing is going on. But there's no sutures involved and things. And I just think that's a good thing to do anyway, even if someone needs... who really does need a bone graft. I think that's just really healthy. But you may not even need one after that procedure.
That sounds great.
Okay. Or you can fly to Seattle and have it done here and then fly back home.
Yes.
we'd love to have you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks very much for calling the show, Pamela. 877-825-8828. We'll take. We'll stay in Colorado.
Oh, great.
We'll move over to Boulder and we'll have
I love
Paula.
Boulder.
Hi, Paula.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hello, Paula. I love Boulder, Colorado. It reminds me of Seattle, but kind of, back in the day.
Rockier.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It's really
without the water.
Without the water.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you from the Northwest?
No, but I really love the ocean. I go to the Oregon coast.
Oh, do you? Yeah, yeah. It has a big river, though. You guys have a big river. My publisher is based in Boulder, so I've been there to do some projects.
Right,
yeah. So what can I do for you?
So I took your two classes on the Ship
Thank
Network.
Thank you.
And I really love the classes. I've been, you know, using the tools and practices in my life. And also, I'm a psychotherapist. My work.
Thank you so much.
I guess why I'm calling is the last couple of weeks, I just kind of hit a wall.
Mm-hmm. In what way? How would you describe the wall?
Well, just really depressed.
Oh, interesting.
And, like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to work. I don't want to. Uh-huh. I feel just no energy, that kind of thing. And I still, you know, do my what if questions.
Sure.
And I don't know. It's just like lack of spark or joy or inspiration.
Well,
somehow.
Here's what I think is going on. I read your energy. It looks excellent, by the way. You do have a few sparks at the tip of your crown. But other than that, I mean, you're taking energy in almost every vortex, and I don't see one leak. So your energy is great. I would love it if you got out of your head and sat in the lower half of your body. I don't think you're depressed, but I do think you're tired. I think you are energetically working really, really hard, and you're probably letting go of a lot of stuff. So it would be nice if you could get out of your head, like we practiced in both of those courses, and rest in the lower half of your body and find out what you're really feeling, not from your mental perspective, but from your authentic emotional body. Because you are tired, there's no doubt. I mean, even though I'm seeing all this energy, as we're talking, I just want to crawl into bed, honestly, and take a nap. So I know you're tired. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But I think that because something actually really good is happening energetically. Think of it this way.
Yeah, that feels right.
Doesn't it feel
right? I'm letting go.
You are.
Now.
Yeah, I think you're great. I think you're on the right path. It's kind of like when someone stops eating sugar, you know, even if you're not a big sugar eater, like I'm not a huge sugar eater, but if I stop eating sugar, I get my body starts to detox within about 4 or 5 days, and it makes me tired. But that's healthy and normal, right? Because the cells are detoxing. So you're going through an energetic form of detoxification, which is really healthy, and nothing's wrong. And I don't think you're depressed.
And what are the sparks in the?
Yeah, the sparks are about that. They affect the neurological system. It could be about headaches. It could be about some sort of nerve pain. It could be you trying to figure out this tiredness and it's driving you crazy, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to just get an extra blanket, drink some beautiful bone broth, you know, lay in bed longer, go to bed after work. Just nurture yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing's wrong from
like
what I
recharge.
Can say.
Recharge.
Yeah, just recharge. Yeah.
A recharge.
Yeah, okay. Everything's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Yeah, it was that easy. Recharge in effect.
I love it.
Perfect. Time for one more. A couple minutes left in the show. We'll take now Char from Orange County. Hi, Char.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to get like a general reading. You know,
you're
I feel
funny.
A little off because of the current. Am I?
Yeah, you're super funny. So
well,
I mean, do your friends think you're funny?
Or you're funny? I'm. Yes. I'm usually. You know.
Yeah. I mean, you're making
me
laugh.
I
mean,
we just enjoy laughing.
Yeah, you're funny. You know? You're funny. I love it.
Yes.
I just love how funny you are. It's great. Okay, so.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you know, I have, I started a new career, you know, I've called you before and in real estate and I enjoy it. I love it. You know, I get a lot of, I love it. Okay. I love the people. I love doing, you know, the prospecting that works. Most people don't do like doing. Mm. I actually enjoy it.
Great.
And everybody looks at me like I'm weird.
But that's good. That's great.
I know. But I have like this weird kind, and this has been a long-term thing, like this kind of anxiousness when I have to speak in like groups, right?
Oh.
Or in like, I guess this weird like anxiety. I mean,
I think it's a good sign. I think it's a really good sign. I think you're so scared of your power, terrified of it. Because once you start speaking to groups, more and more people are going to like you, be interested in you, want to ask you questions, want to work with you, do other things, you know, different type of work with you. Just be really nice to yourself. Like, honey, I love you. We're safe. Everything's fine. And Benny's playing the music, so I have to go soon. So just talk to yourself. Give yourself a pep talk. Be very nice to yourself. And all of it is going to disappear in a little bit of time. You're on the right track. Speak to big groups. It's good for you.
Okay. Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You got it, Char. You got it.
We love you, too. And I'm wishing everyone a very bright day and also fall madly in love with you. Bye-bye for now.